KLYT. This is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
Hey, I kind of have a must-do before we introduce you to our next guest. The time of year we land in puts us in GFA World's Christmas Critter Campaign with KLYT helping to rescue families from poverty and show Christ's love. If you've never been a part of this, a real easy way for you to check it out is go to klyt.fm, click on the banner right at the top of the page, and you'll see information, a portion of their Christmas catalog. But the toll-free number I want to give to you, but you can order gifts online to send to others in Africa or parts of, or actually in Asia or parts of Africa. Here's the toll-free number first. It's 855-513-2127. As you scroll through the gifts available, ranging in prices from like $10 for a Bible or a mosquito net to opportunities to provide a well for a village, which, you know, we know in other parts of the world, I mean, you know, you and I mean, I'm thirsty. Well, you're probably 10 steps away from a clean cup of water. And many people, maybe most people around the world, sometimes they have to walk miles just to get clean water every day, or they are drinking water that just is a real health hazard. Now, not only are we trying to make lives better and provide for people, giving them gifts that will, for some, create an income, like barnyard animals or a sewing machine or what have you, each gift is delivered by staff from Gospel, that's GFA World, and they share the love of Christ with each gift that's sent. If you want to find out more, really, the easiest thing to do is just go to klyt.fm, click on the banner at the top of the page, and electronically send one of those gifts. Or you can call toll-free 855-513-2127. Let me introduce our first guest, Desiree Woodland. Desiree is the president emeritus of Breaking the Silence in New Mexico. Her and her husband, Gary, have two children, Michelle and Ryan. After the loss of her 24-year-old son, Ryan, Desiree wrote a book called I Still Believe, which, of course, you can go and find that where you go and look for books online. Desiree retired after 19 years teaching at APS and RRPS, that is the Rio Rancho Public Schools. She's the co-creator of Talking Mental Health Curriculum. It's a best practice, evidence-based, interactive curriculum about mental illness awareness and suicide prevention that complements anti-bullying instruction and drug and alcohol abuse prevention curriculum, which teaches students mental illness and suicide awareness. She's on the board for Survivors of Suicide Albuquerque and facilitates a mother survival group for that for SOS, and has a master's level certificate in grief and loss, and writes on suicide loss and grief periodically. And with that, well, man, Desiree, there's your resume. Welcome into ABQ Connect.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be here today.
Now, on the before we jump into your story and the loss of Ryan, we want to remind people that are already kind of keyed into our topic today that there is a Survivor of Suicide support group that meets on the second and fourth Saturdays. That's an in-person meeting from 1 to 2:30. Now, is that at where is that?
That Saturday meeting meets at St. Luke Lutheran Church.
Okay, St. Luke's Lutheran. And then on the third Saturday of each month, there's actually a virtual meeting. Is it the same time, 1 to 2:30?
Same time.
Okay, and we're going to tell you how to connect with these virtual meetings in just a moment. Other opportunities include the first and third Monday of each month. That's an evening meeting from 7 to 8:30. Is that at St. Luke's
that
as well?
That meets at Shepherd of the Valley.
Okay.
We're all over the city.
That's good.
Yep.
You know what I love is to see the body of Christ working together.
Amen.
To accomplish a great task. Now there is the second Monday, though, is a virtual meeting. Now for those virtual meetings, the third Saturday of each month and the second Monday, it's Saturday early afternoon and Monday evenings. Here's how you get that information. You can send an email to get the link you would need to join the virtual meeting to SOS for Survivor of Suicide, SOS in ABQ at gmail.com. And request that link, or you can call. Here in Albuquerque, it's 505-400-9942. We are on in Las Cruces, Cannon Air Force Base, and Portales. So that the virtual meetings would be a great option for you. You could be a part of that, but call 505-400-9942 or send that email to sosinabq@gmail.com. And we'll give that contact information again, but actually, before we jump into the meet or into your story too, Desiree, and then I'm going to be quiet, I promise. a big reason you're here is there's an opportunity to attend the International Survivors of Suicide Loss Day. This is happening at Hope Church up in the Northeast Heights. It's on Wandabo, just north of Montgomery, right across from the fire station. This is going to be Saturday, November 23rd, from 10 a.m. to 2. Lunch will be provided, and it is a free event. So, again, it's at Hope Church on Wandabo, north of Montgomery. And you can go to their website and find it actually on their community. They have a couple of calendars. Go to their community calendar at hopechurchabq.com. Woo, okay.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Well, there
we go. Now, Desiree, let's talk a little bit about your story. And I think it's pretty easy to find out. I mean, what drew you to this? I mean, you lost a son to suicide. But I'm going to let you tell your story as I'm sure it's not the first time, and you know... what's going to impact people?
No, definitely. I think when someone loses someone to suicide, it is imperative that you try to make some sense of it from something that seems so senseless. I was teaching school at the time, and he had been already displaying some unusual symptoms, but I did not believe in mental illness. And, you know, as someone of faith, I prayed for him. I, you know, tried to support him the best that I could. But I didn't realize that when someone has a mental illness, and not just depression or anxiety that all of us feel from time to time, but a real brain illness that required treatment. And so he kind of kept on suffering for quite a bit of time until he just couldn't go on anymore. I recently had an opportunity to speak at my church about suicide, and I really wanted to just share this beautiful way to look at it, because I think there's so much misunderstanding about what suicide is all about, because it happens in all aspects of society. But I just, you know, Ryan accepted the Lord when he was a little boy, and so I know that he trusted in God, but I also want to think about how important it is that we're able to embrace our Christian faith during the worst times of our lives, and that Jesus goes through locked doors and reaches places that maybe we can't, because most people who take their lives just wanted the pain to stop. Mm. But I think about the scripture that there's, for those of us who have accepted Jesus, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God.
Now, a couple of things that stood out to me just in that part of your story. One, you didn't believe in mental illness. Now, was that because you didn't find a place for it in your faith? And obviously that's changed. And I happen to be on the same page with you now. I do believe there's mental illness. I mean, and you and I both know, I'm sure, with all you've done, we can see it in Scripture. There's prophets that dealt with it. Now, that's a whole nother topic. But what I would want to do is, there's someone listening who is where you were. What brought you to a place where you understood, no, It is something.
Well, I think, you know, as even when Ryan was diagnosed, he was diagnosed 9 months before he died with schizophrenia. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, that's a really serious word. But, you know, he's on medication. He's going to be fine. Uh-huh. And I think part of what we need to know about it is that we need to normalize talking about mental health and about suicide, not just in society, not just in schools, but in the church in general. And what a wonderful thing for someone who is struggling with a mental illness to be sitting in a congregation and hear from the pulpit maybe a prayer for people who struggle with mental health. And you know, I also compare it to someone who has, it's the spiritual component, I suppose, to somebody who has cancer or heart disease. There's no shame in having a mental illness and to be welcomed into a congregation and have people understand. I educated myself the best that I could. I read books and, you know, that was really helpful. I'm not a professional counselor, but I think that everyone can do something to help someone who is struggling with mental health challenges or suicidal thinking.
Oh, sure. I mean, and not to go into detail about what is available in the support groups and not here just because of time, but sure. You're someone who loves the Lord. And the Bible's your standard. Peter certainly wasn't a counselor. He was a fisherman who knew the Lord and knew his word and shared the love of Christ with others. And in doing so, provides this confident expectation, hope that we as Christians can offer. However, that's not always a cure-all to prevent a suicide, but it certainly is a place that, you know, we should. And the other thing I wanted to touch on, you mentioned pain. Mm. I've been aware of and known people who've taken their life either actual chronic physical pain got them to a place where they just, you know, they did. And then there's mental pain. There's more than, you know, people may be thinking when you say that, but would you agree that that's just something? I mean, both are just as real as the other.
Absolutely. And I think we also need, when we talk about suicide, we really need to understand that not all suicides are the same. There are people who maybe were struggling with so much pain and couldn't feel any relief, whether it was physical or mental. But there are people who are maybe just obstinate, don't want to be in the world.
Yeah.
And I work with youth, and so some of those are impulsive. But one of the books that helped me so much was called, it's called Bruised and Wounded. And it talks about that it's, when someone is in such mental pain, it's akin to, as I mentioned, you know, a spiritual cancer or heart disease, and that most suicides are that the person is in so much pain and they can't see the answer to end that pain. And so, understanding that and having compassion for that, I think, is a really important part of my Christian faith.
Well, believe it or not, we're already up against a break. And before we go to a break, I want to remind our listeners, we're visiting with Desiree Woodland. She and others are going to be facilitating the International Survivors of Suicide Loss Day on Saturday, November 23rd. And that is going to be at 10 a.m. At Hope Church up in the Northeast Heights. It's just north of Montgomery on Juan de Bo on the east side of the street, right across from the firehouse. You can go to their website to find details about their International Survivors of Suicide Day at Hope Church, at the website at hopechurchabq.com. When you go to that website, on the top of the page, you'll see events. You want to scroll down to community calendar to find the details about the 23rd event that we're talking about. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more with Desiree right after this on ABQ Connect. In studio with us, Desiree Woodland. She's the president emeritus of Breaking the Silence New Mexico, and with others are facilitating the Survivors of Suicide Loss Day, International Survivors of Suicide Loss Day. It's coming up on November 23rd and will be a free event at Hope Church in the Northeast Heights. That's on Wandabo, north of Montgomery, on the east side of the street, right across from the firehouse. And it's going from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And lunch is going to be served at that event as well. Let's, Desiree, let's walk through the event. You know, what's that day going to look like?
Okay. You know, it is such a healing day. Not everyone feels comfortable after suicide loss coming to a support group, but this is a day that, you know, it's a welcoming in such a way, and activities are planned that people can feel comfortable, and they don't have to talk, they don't have to share, but there's art involved, there's food involved, and I do want to put out a shout out to Matucci's, because they're going to come and cater
sponsoring the event.
Yeah, they're sponsoring, and Starbucks as well. And then, you know, the AFSP, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, as well as SOS, Survivors of Suicide. So it's a real group effort for those of us who are in Albuquerque wanting to put together an event that is healing. It's not specifically a faith event, but it is a place where people can come and find hope, community, and understanding. And there's a little blurb I wanted to share, because to me, this is really what the day stands for me as a believer, as putting my time in to help pull it together, is that, you know, we talked about, Steve, you brought it up, you know, that there's many people in the Bible who are struggling with their mental health. And that reminds me of how compassionate Jesus is, that he is willing and able to reach those places that we as his body can help one another to soothe those aches.
You know, I think he wove us into the womb. He created us. He knows us, and he knows how to heal us, and he knows how to provide hope. And you mentioned hope, and I know I probably already said it once, but it can be very Christianese to say hope. But what we say, as a Christian, what we mean is a confident expectation. It's not a whimsical kind of a hope, and that's what people are going to experience. One of the things, and you know, if we can, we'll get through some of the agenda more for that day. For someone who's listening and hears that and they go, okay, it's at a church, but I'm not a Christian.
Right. Well, and we want to welcome everyone. You know, there's something to be said for people who survive the loss of a suicide loss of a loved one. It's kind of like our hearts are knit together. And, you know, there's a lot of ways that people can be ministered to. And one of them is to meet them where they are, which is exactly what Jesus does for us. And so we look at this day, even though we're not preaching, we will say a blessing before our lunch. Yeah. And there is a film. But there are plenty of people who, you know, are able to, anyone can share their faith at our table groups. So it's really a very inclusive day. We want everyone who is hurting to be able to come.
And this can sound very Christianese, especially to a Christian, but come as you are.
Yes.
Just show up.
Just show up.
And again, let me throw it out again. It's going to be Saturday, November 23rd, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Lunch is provided. It's a free event at Hope Church on Wandabo, north of Montgomery, on the east side of the street, right across from the firehouse. So continuing through that day, what other kind of things do you anticipate seeing happen?
So I think I mentioned art. A lot of people are like, oh no. But you know what? You can get into a place inside of yourself with art that you might not be able to express in words. And so that's the point of that. It actually has, we're going to be using, it's a very simple project, but the lighthouse is the image that we're going to be using as a way to help people complete art. We have the pictures of people who have taken their lives on luminaria bags. And mm-hmm. So those will be set up when people walk in. And so they can find their loved one's picture. I don't think we mentioned that, but there's an email where people can send a JPEG of their loved one so that is on the bag when they come in. People will be there to welcome them. Signs will be up. So it's not really an intimidating time. If you come and you don't know anybody, it's okay. We know you because we're all survivors.
I can't imagine, but I'm going to, just from what I'm hearing, I'm going to guess that there's people who show up that, you know, a little, you know, intimidated. But, you know, I'm going to guess also by the by the end of some of these days, there's people who've began lifelong relationships with people in this family.
That's absolutely the truth. Some of my very best friends are survivors, too. So there's just a way that God weaves our hearts together. So let's see. So then we'll have a lunch, and we will also have we have two survivor speakers who will share. I know that one of them is someone of faith, so she'll share her faith. It's 5 minutes. It's very short. But people will be in table groups, so there's a table facilitator. So, you know, no one has to feel that they have to talk or they have to do anything. They can just be present if that's what they need for the day. And then we'll watch a film together. It's called The Journey, and it highlights, I think there's five or six different people who have lost a husband, a father, a child, a friend, and they'll share their stories. Because you mentioned hope again. I mean, being able to see that people can survive this most horrible thing that's happened in their lives is what gives people hope. And it does hopefully make them want to come back and be part of our group, just because this isn't something that you get over and you don't move through quickly.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was sitting here thinking, you know, there's someone who, you know, that maybe this is recent, you know, and it's raw, and they just, and I was going to ask, does the rawness go away? And maybe in some ways it doesn't, and in some ways it never does.
I think you're absolutely right. It's, you know, for some set period of time, it is, raw is the perfect word, because you don't even know. And in fact, that's why I wrote my book. I didn't know if I believed in God anymore after Ryan died, because the pain was so horrendous. But, you know, you live, you put one foot in front of the other, you get up and you live your life and you see people that have walked this path before you. And that does give you hope.
Well, listen, we've got a very short amount of time, so I want to make sure we mention the International Survivors of Suicide Loss Day. Again, that's going to be Saturday, November 23rd, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Lunch is provided. It's a free event at Hope Church, Juan de Bo, north of Montgomery. And if you heard about those monthly meetings that we mentioned earlier, and or maybe you didn't, let me give you the contact information so you can reach out and ask about those monthly meetings. The first one is SOS in ABQ. That's Survivors of Suicide. SOS in ABQ at gmail.com. And the number to call is 505-400-9942. Whether you're in Albuquerque, Las Cruces, anywhere you're listening, because some virtual opportunities are there for those monthly meetings as well. So 505-400-9942 and SOS in ABQ at gmail.com. Probably less than a minute. But anything, Pat, you know, ending thoughts here, Desiree?
Well, I just am so grateful for the opportunity to be able to put it out on the airwaves and invite people. If you are a survivor, if you know someone who's lost someone to suicide, please invite them to come. Please come. I know that there will be much healing, and, you know, it'll be something that you will remember for the rest of your life.
Now, here's something I didn't think of. What about someone who's has a loved one who's tried to commit suicide? Mm. Would this be something to go and?
You know what? That is really a whole different issue.
Okay. Well, you use that contact information and reach out, and I bet there's resources that you can aim them at. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, definitely.
Desiree, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Open invite. Let us know when we can assist.
Thank you so much.
All right. Stay with us. Coming up after the break, it's Jay Sekulow, and at 3 o'clock in the market with Janet Parshall on The Light.